We're glad to have you here this evening. Take your Bible, if you would, please, if you have it. And let's start back in Jeremiah chapter number 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, we talked about stand. If you would like to, you can. We talked about stand in Ephesians chapter number 6, having done all to stand. Stand therefore. And you have to learn to understand that in the Christian life, it's not this constant adjustment to the world. What the world wants to do is take your Christianity and mix it in with the devil and mix it in with the world and then take that thing and sort of spin it into a fashion that makes them comfortable. And what you have to realize is if they're uncomfortable because you're standing on solid biblical foundation, then they just have to be uncomfortable. You don't have to be a jerk about it. You don't have to be unkind. You don't have to be unchristian about it. But at the same time, you don't have to mold yourself into, well, you know, I'm sorry if you're uncomfortable. What can I do? I'll go ahead and have a couple of drinks with me. Go ahead and smoke some crack with me and go ahead and lay with me or do whatever it might be. No, I'm a Christian. I'm not doing that. You're entitled to do what you want to do, but I don't have to participate in it. And now it's sort of been reversed where you feel like you're the bad guy because you're like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want my kids going there. I don't want my kids watching that. Nowadays it's like, well, we let our kids watch that. Well, we don't. Even sometimes Christian parents say, well, we don't have a problem with our kids watching R-rated stuff. We don't have a problem with kids playing these games that are right out of the pit of hell itself. And, oh, it's just a game. It's no big deal. Okay, that's fine for you and your kids. But two things. Number one, I don't want your kids in their games around my kids. And don't make me the bad guy. In other words, when it comes to Christianity, there are certain things that you ought to be willing to say when it comes to the book, when it comes to the blood, when it comes to how you raise your kids and those kind of things, when it comes to the church that you attend, the doctrine that you believe, that there's just a solid ground there, solid line there that says, I'm not moving off of that. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I'm not interested in becoming so democratic that I just get swallowed up by what everybody else does. Have you not noticed in your lifetime that the ideas as far as morality have slipped far and beyond in just the last 10 years? And now it's moving so fast that you see it on billboards, you see it in TV, you hear it talked about on radio. You can watch the news channel and they have people doing things on the news channel now that are literally outside of where we should be as Christians. So what I want to try to give you is a couple of things. Number one, that's a great way to garner God's attention. Number two, it is a great way to get God's blessing on your life. Number three, it's not going to be an easy thing to do. If you're going to stand for Jesus Christ, you don't have to be a jerk about it, but you are going to get some conflict along the way. You say, why? It makes people uncomfortable. For anybody to be dogmatic about anything, like a football team or whatever, nobody has a problem. But be dogmatic about the Bible and Christianity, and people immediately think something's wrong with you and they want to label you as a cult. Look, if you will, please, in Jeremiah 7, not only stand, but also walk. Jeremiah chapter number 7, verse number 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Watch. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth from the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ears, but hardened their neck, and they did worse than their fathers. In other words, it progressively got worse, not better. It was not evolution, it was de-evolution. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Brother Lance, you pray, ask the Lord to help us, would you please? Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 4, 1 Peter chapter number 4. And maybe I should give a little bit of a qualification. I made a statement the other day about statute of limitations. I want you to know that was tongue-in-cheek humor. I didn't do anything that was illegal when I was in law enforcement. Nothing I'm worried about. Statute of limitations coming back around. Now, if you think otherwise, and you didn't know me very well, but I was saying that in a sense of humor to say, you know, if I did, you know, you couldn't get me anyway, statute of limitations. But I wasn't saying that because I did something illegal and I know where the bodies are buried or that kind of thing. It wasn't intended to come across that way, and I apologize. I don't want to lose your confidence, but I was probably the other end of that thing, maybe even at times to an extreme. But here's the thing I want you to understand. You live in a day and time where the idea of Christianity has now been compromised. And now what you're beginning to see is the onset of, as the tide of the of morals in this country is beginning to turn, and the tide of the way that people believe is beginning to turn, now even churches are falling into that, and they're going that way because it is easier to go with the current than to stand against the current. And so as a result, what happens is in order to not be called out, and I'm not talking about being like some of these people that do crazy things and get involved in burning Korans and idiotic, stupid things like talking about different people in the military and stuff like that. Those aren't even biblical things to be discussing. What I'm talking about is salvation through Jesus Christ. What I'm talking about is a non-contemporary way of worshiping the Lord. What I'm talking about is biblical authority based on a King James Bible. But now that is beginning to pass off the scene. Now what is beginning to happen is teachers are being taught in a seminary to learn how to market this thing, to learn how to bring about a religion that sort of fits everybody and makes everybody feel comfortable. No longer is there this awe that takes place when people walk into the presence of God. No longer is there this fear of sin. As a matter of fact, if you dare even bring up sin in somebody's life, talk about holiness, talk about purity, talk about, God forbid, separation, you now live in a day and time where they're ready to crucify you because you're making them uncomfortable. And what I'm here to tell you is that it has been reversed. You're supposed to make them uncomfortable if they're not doing what the Bible says to do. You don't have to open your mouth to do it. You just don't have to participate in it. Look, if you will, please, 1 Peter chapter number 4. The Bible says this, verse 12. You know the verse. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. You say, why? It's evidence that the Spirit and glory of God is resting on you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Then he goes on to clarify that and to make sure you stay properly balanced. But, he says, let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, a busybody in other men's matter. But if you suffer for Christ as a Christian, don't be ashamed of that. Come back, if you will, please, over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 6. I'm going to try to run through these as quickly as I can, but not so fast that you don't understand. There's nothing wrong with taking a stand, and there's nothing wrong with walking in the ways of God. Amen. There's nothing wrong with doing what God tells you to do. A path walking with God always comes out in the right place. But make no mistake about it, if the Bible's right, if they made fun of Jesus, doesn't it stand to reason if you're following him, they may make fun of you?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir. Somebody can stand on the side of the road and dance and sling one of them signs around and act the fool to try to get you to come in to taste their chicken or their hamburger or whatever it happens to be selling, and people don't do anything. They got on their earbuds and they're over there dancing around and break dancing and jumping around acting like a chicken, and they're doing all kind of different things like that, and quite entertaining if you have long enough to sit there and watch that kind of a thing. But replace that individual with a preacher that just says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that what's he doing here? Just trying to give you another way, a suggestion, a thought. I mean, you shouldn't be offended by that. It's just the fact that, but the guy spinning the sign doesn't offend anybody, but a preacher standing there, a lot of times somebody just standing there holding a sign. Just a sign. Doesn't have to be you're going to burn in hell and we're glad to see you fry like a French fry. like some of you would do. You don't have to be a jerk. You could hold up John 11:35. Jesus wept. Make them think. Jesus wept for you. How about how that Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture, was buried, raised again the third day according to the Scripture. The way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. How about that? But you know what happens? Oh, look at them. They're weird. They're strange. They're odds. Yeah, you're supposed to be. The Bible says you're the off-scouring of the world. There should be something different about you where you're, when you're around, just the way you conduct yourself, that people that are not right with God, you're supposed to be a light that lights that up, and like a roach bug runs when you turn the lights on. It's supposed to repel that, or if they're in trouble, draw them in so that you can have an opportunity to tell them. And can I say this to you? You don't win an argument at the point of a sword. Some of you are really good at hacking heads off, and if you were in Vietnam, you would take a bunch of ears from all the religious people that you have hacked to death over a period of time. But you don't win an argument that way. You know what he says? Sometimes you got to put up the sword and grab the towel. Sometimes you have to be willing to minister to people, tone it down a little, knock it down. That doesn't mean you got to have a beer with them. Doesn't mean, you know, hey, if they're smoking it off the foil, that you go ahead and chase the dragon with them. You don't have to get carried away. Well, I didn't want to make them uncomfortable. No, you be uncomfortable. You fixing to go to jail if I can get to a phone. I used to would have said, or maybe worse than that, but I can't say that anymore because my speech is not supposed to be condemned, and I don't want to give you the wrong impression about that, but that stuff is it's just very bad stuff, and people shouldn't do it. Jeremiah chapter 6. Notice what the Bible says here. Now, we were in this passage the other day here, but I want you to grab a hold of a couple of things here in Jeremiah chapter number 6. He says this in verse number 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they should hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it, the word of the Lord. Then what he does is he comes all the way down here. He's trying to deal with the nation of Israel. He says in verse number 15, were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay, they were not ashamed, neither could they blush. Did you see what he said? Listen, it's not just going on the day and time you are now. He said that when I came to the nation of Israel, that I told them what they were doing was wrong, and they not only were not ashamed, they didn't even blush about it. It didn't even bother them to see the stuff on TV. Nowadays, I couldn't even watch commercials with my grandkids there because I'd be embarrassed because of the stuff on the television that everybody watches, and it don't matter nighttime or daytime anymore. I'm not talking about just cable. I'm talking about regular TV commercials that come on, and they're inappropriate, especially for mixed audience. And I got little girls sitting there, and then all of a sudden these people come out in all manner of dress and attire. Say, oh, preacher, it ain't no big deal. Okay, whatever. That's embarrassing to me. I will say this to you. If the ladies in my church were sitting there, I would be embarrassed that I was looking at that while you were in the room. Now see, you're like, what's the big deal? I would be embarrassed to see you in a bathing suit. You ready to throw up now? You say, why? I don't have no business seeing you. I'm your pastor. I'm your preacher. I ain't got no business seeing you like that.
Amen.
Where would you get that? That would be the same thing as seeing your daughter running around in shorty shorts or something in a tank top. Don't you think that would be odd that I would be like, yeah, well, no big deal.
Yep.
It don't even make you blush. Some of you perverted old men think, well, you know, I mean, it's just the way kids are nowadays. Well, then why don't you dismiss yourself from it?
Amen.
Now you do with it whatever you want to do with it. You know, oh, preacher, you just don't understand, you know, and you got to be able to have, you know, the leg room to be able to move and to be able to, you know, to do the stuff and all that kind of stuff. I wonder how they played ball in my days. They managed to do it. Well, we just go ahead and get right on down to brass tacks. And then you wonder why your kids wind up knocked up before they're 13. Pardon me, did that offend you? Pregnant out of wedlock. You wonder why the school system is peddling all manner of of abstinence, not abstinence material, but of protection materials around, you understand, and they're peddling around now in elementary school. You wonder why in junior high school your sexually transmitted diseases are so high the government had to step in. You wonder why? It's because you let them run around like they got something for sale. That's why. I don't care if you like it or don't like it. It's true. They walk into church and you dress like a pig, and then you wonder why they're dressing like a pig. Well, you dress like that at church, Mom. What's wrong with me dressing like that? One lady was heard to say when one of the girls after youth camp said, you know, Mama, I think this probably ought to be. I don't give a flip what that preacher says. It ain't no business of his whether I want to wear this or not wear that. No, Mama, she said. He just said that it's not his business to tell him how to, but that I might be learning things from you. You say, what happened to them? They don't come here anymore. Because Mama ain't going to have nobody tell her how to dress. That's why you're divorced, lady. You say, what is it? It violates a principle of authority. You can trample God's holiness and he'll give you more grace in that than he will authority. You come to God's authority, he will stomp them. He will wear you out. You say, why? God's all about that authority thing. You decide to violate that stuff, God will violate you. You want to teach the girls and the boys to do right? You got to show them by example. But it don't even make you blush anymore. You gentlemen in here, you grown men that got daughters, and you imagine bringing your kid up to your little daughter to me in a bikini? Hey, preacher, this is my daughter. But you don't think nothing of her running around like that, a bunch of people you don't know? First of all, I wouldn't want her to be there. I'd be embarrassed. But from the looks of some of you, it wouldn't bother you at all. Well, okay, help yourself. I'll be right here for you when she winds up having some problems and stuff like that, and come right on back and have a seat on the couch. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, coffee mug, the placemat, the baseball hat, the engraved golf ball, and everything else that goes with it. You say, why? You are not going to stop human nature. Right. I happen to know a little bit about it. I'm talking about, in the passage I just read, they were not ashamed, and it didn't make them blush. The stuff you see on that box anymore, it don't even make you blush. That shows your spiritual condition. Hey, Jesus, come on here and take a look at this. You made them, didn't you? Created them like that, didn't you? Look at that. Don't want your kids fooling around with that stuff? You're a fool if you do. It starts off with them playing games with scantily clad kids, girls and stuff in there, and then the next thing they got to go a little more and go a little more, and the next thing you know, they're hooked up worse than a crack addict. While dad's in there, you know, 10-4, can you send out a drone over here? 10-4, they're coming up a right flank over there. 10-4, I got you covered over there. Get the AK and bring in the 50 cal and bring it up there on the ground. 10-4. Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Would you go walk out in the woods or something? Are you afraid a tick might bite you? But a mosquito might get me. I'll get it one of them little red bumps.
Therefore, verse 15, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Well, there's your nation. She's going down. I gave you this on Sunday. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. What are you walking in? The way you ask for. What do you ask for? I'm asking for the right path. I'm asking for the right thing. Look, if you will, please, in Isaiah 58. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Isaiah 58.
I promise you I'm not trying to be hard on you, but somewhere along the line somebody's got to make you smell the coffee. I'm not talking to the world or the people out there at the United Nations. I don't have a way to resolve the thing with Kim Jong-un or whatever it is. Pass out all your pills to the people in Alaska and Northern California in case of nuclear attack and this and that and the other. I got no answers for that. Nuke him before he nukes you, I guess, but you're talking about millions of people dying. Well, we'll absorb the first strike. Well, you're an idiot. But if that's what you want to do, God's in control of that. But that's not what we're talking about. God's talking about judging you not on whether or not a nuke hits you, or whether or not a nuke comes by, or worm war hits you, or you got 15 days of darkness because of something happening with Jupiter and Neptune and all this other kind of junk going on, and the hydrogen gas being released and causing an explosion on the sun, and the sun going from yellow and orange to turning blue and causing darkness upon this. And all. God ain't judging you about that. That's smoke and mirrors of the devil trying to get you worried about things you can't control. God judge you on what you can control. God controlled, judges you what you have coming in your eyes, what you have coming in your ears, where you're letting your morals slip and where it's being passed down generation to generation to generation, to where all of a sudden kids don't care about not just committing fornication and adultery, they don't even hesitate to murder. Bloodlust wide open. Rob the jewelry store. Why? They got insurance. Who cares? Let insurance pay for it. I want mine and I want it now. Give me my phone, give me my car, I'll knock anybody in the head to get what I want. That's where your nation is. God will judge you based on what you do with yourself and with your kids. You know what he said about the nation of Israel? A nation that was raised straight-laced, a nation that was given the law, a nation that Moses had come down and given the law, busted the tablets, went back up, got it again. They got things straight. They were in and out, in and out, in and out. And then the next thing, the Lord comes along, of all the nations that ought to be having things right would be my chosen people. And they've gone that way. They've let it slip. They've let it slide. And you know what he said? And they're going to be just like anybody else. They're going to fall when the other ones fall. Now, what are you going to do about it? The Lord said, ask for the old paths, the dinosaur paths. Preacher, you need to get caught up to date. You're going to bury me first. Amen. Or fire me one. Amen. You're going to bury me first. You say, why? He said, ask for the old paths. I'm asking for the old paths. Amen. I want to stay on the old paths. I don't care how much it's contrary to the modern world. I don't care how much it's contrary to the... Oh, you're so arrogant. You're so obnoxious. You're just so sure of yourself. No, I'm in the Bible. Amen. I'm going to let the Bible control me, not you, sir or ma'am. I'm going to do what God says to do. Amen. Well, that's a cheap way out. No, you got the cheap way out. You're following your flesh. You're following what makes you comfortable with your contemporaries. You know why? You're selfish and you don't care if they go to hell. That's why. You could care less. Or you'd live different. You could care less. Or when it comes time for turkey day, when they get ready to chop off the turkey legs and lay open the breast there and have the green bean casserole and the squash casserole and the baked potato souffle and the sweet potato capless casserole and all the other stuff, key lime pie, whatever it is you got there, to say, hey, would you stop for just a second? And let's first of all be thankful that we're even here and able to have this. Amen. And not forget why it is that we're here. Wasn't because of a pilgrim, it was because of God. So we should give thanks. But boy, they're corrupting the tar out of that now. They don't even mention God anymore. You can't go around even at Christmas time anymore and see anything about God. It's all just secular. It's all just commercial. And now Thanksgiving is just another day off for people to go worship their God of football. Let's get the family together and everybody. And here comes a whole bunch of people getting together and just they get drunk and get eaten on just gluttonous going out without even pausing and saying, hold on, hold on, hold on. God do anything for you this year? God do anything for you this year? God do anything for you this year? You have anything to be thankful for this year? No, just dig in and eat until you pop. God says you're going to fall when everybody else falls. The towers come down, you going down with the towers. He flings a nuke, you get hit just like everybody else gets hit. Isaiah chapter number 58, God holds you to a different standard. Verse number 12, let me hurry. This is a passage on fasting and they're real good and the Lord's talking about getting the Lord's attention. What a time to talk about fasting around Thanksgiving.
Verse 11, the Lord God shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. There's consistency there after this fast has gotten God's attention. Verse number 12, and they shall be of thee, shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach and a restorer of the paths to dwell in. The restorer of the restorer, that means a pathway that used to be there and it's gone now. Not a shooting lane or something. I mean a path. Well beaten, well trodden, well used, well proven. But now everybody wants a new path, something new, something different. And we need to change something. We gotta update it. We gotta upgrade it. Listen, can I ask y'all a favor, please? I don't know whether we'll ever get this thing built or not get it built. It's moving along pretty quick. But could you do me a favor, please? If I croak before it gets up, could you make sure it has carpet and pews in it? Could you make sure that it is not modernistic and you don't have somebody come in and put a bunch of stinking chairs in there and make it like a theater?
Amen.
Do you make sure it looks like a church, maybe on a bigger scale, but could you make sure that it looks like a church when people walk in, they think, I'm in church? Nowadays, the Catholics have got it on the Baptists. The Catholics look more churchy than the Baptists do. You've fallen to the rest of the world. Well, you know, we can grab more young people if we get chairs. I ain't interested in grabbing young people. I'm interested in getting people to worship God.
Amen.
All this marketing garbage stuff that's out there nowadays, it's foolishness.
Amen.
Well, you can't reach people the way you do. Then we don't reach them.
Amen.
But we please God.
Amen.
What made you think the church was about reaching people anyway? Where'd you get that? I got Bible for my theology. You got any? You got any? Well, the Bible says, go into all the world. Yeah, he didn't say create the church and invite the world in. He said, go out and get them. He said, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Not use the church as your duck for your personal witness, public witness.
Right.
He said, go out and get them and bring them in.
Yes,
not the church is used as a magnet. We have ping pong and pizza. We have pool tables and swimming pools. We have everything and anything you could want. We have a psychiatrist. We have a psychologist. We have financial classes. We have marital classes. We have classes for divorce. And we have classes who want to be divorced. And we have classes for those who have been and aren't anymore. And we have people that want this and people that want that. And if you have a child this way, we have this for that. And we have this for that. Don't go to that church over there. Why? They just got an idiot that gets up in the pulpit and half the time he yells. He's so unsophisticated. So uncaring, so unlearned.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Could you just please do me a favor? I don't know. The Lord might kill me, might take me out or whatever. But if he does, could you make sure if you do this, I don't care if it's a log. There's a couple of guys in here can do it. A log on one end, a log on the other end, turned up on the end with a plank in the middle. I'm just making sure you know the direction I want to go. I'm not interested in having some contemporary slop jar over there and saying, well, because we're new, now we're changing who we are. We ain't changing. You say, why? I'm more loyal than some of you. I'm loyal to the people that got us to where we are. And they got us to where we are on the old paths. And I'll be loyal to them before I will ditch them to go grab a bunch of people that are unproven. I just don't think you can be that dogmatic about anything. Well, when you're the pastor, you can do what you want to do. You can turn it over to the people, Saul.
Amen. That's right.
But while I'm here, we're going to do it the way I believe God wants it to be done.
Amen.
That's just helping me because I'm not really spiritual. Look, if you will, please, in Isaiah chapter number 30. A lady said to me where I was at recently, she said, you just seem awfully intense. I was away preaching. And I'm, you know, when I'm away preaching, I'm just like all that. You know, I'm just fluffy and kind and gentle. And, you know, y'all been there before. I mean, I'm just really soft-spoken. And she said, you're, and I would just like to bring it to your attention. I'm very concerned about you, she said. And I said, why is that? She goes, well, what if you have a heart attack? I said, well, I go home to be with the Lord. And she said, yeah, but what will we do? I said, I don't know. I won't be here.
I said, could you package me up or something and send me back to my wife or whatever? I said, but they may want to burn me and then send me back over there. I don't know, ashes are a whole lot easier to send back in the mail than it is a body. Was that offensive? The Lord's going to give me a new one anyway. I ain't worried about it. Just make sure I'm gone. I don't want to hear that thing burning at 500 and something or 1500 and something degrees and, you know, turn bone to powder. It's like, make sure I'm, you know, I don't want to be like, you know, whoa, it's hot in here, you know, kind of a thing. But it don't make no difference to me. I'm not just saying that. I don't care. It don't matter to me. I'm worried about you, she said. And I said, okay, well, I said, I'll be fine. She said, well, suppose you have an aneurysm. I said, sister, are you really that worried about me, or did you just get offended by what I said? Well, that could be too, I guess. Well, I guess. Well, you don't have to worry about me. The Lord's got it.
Amen.
If I pop a cork, then, you know, I'm not asking to go. But if I do, you should know where I'm going.
Amen.
So, you know, somebody told me, said, well, we would love to have a new pastor. I said, okay, pray God to kill the old one. But if he doesn't, Isaiah chapter number 30, look if you will please in verse number 20. The Bible says we're talking about walking the right way. If you're going to walk the right way, the path is narrow. If you're going to do the things that are right to do, everybody ain't going to walk with you. Some of you folks here have got the character of a lion. You're not being burned by the fires at Smithfield, but being associated here, you have the courage to be able to separate yourself just by where you go and who you're affiliated with. Verse number 19, make it 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left, ye shall defile also the covering of the graven images and the silver and the ornaments and so on and so forth. You know what he says? He says, behind you, I'm going to put somebody to tell you, this is the way, walk ye in it. There is a right way. And the end thereof are the ways of life. The end thereof is the Lord. There is a way that seemeth right unto the man. The end thereof are the ways of death. What are you talking about? I'm talking about walking in the paths. What kind of paths? The old paths. Let's get definitive about it. Look in John chapter number 12. You have to fight against the modern assuaging of old-time ways. They're always trying to come up with something new, some new way to do something. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Amen.
Just stick with the Bible.
Amen.
Just Bible preaching. What about entertainment? Go to the movies. Go to the show. Go to Las Vegas. If that's what you think is okay for you to do, you're a fool if you do. But go if you go, if that's what you want to do. To go there for a show, come on, and you're like, oh, now, preacher, you don't understand the reason. Get it in context, okay? Don't be flipping out. Church was never intended to be a show. It was intended to be about worship.
Amen.
You know what worship says? It's about God. It's not about me. Wouldn't it be great to be in a church where it was about God and not about us? Do you realize how few problems we would have if it was about God, not about us? You solve your problem with who's parking in your parking place. They know that's where I park. Yeah, the Lord knew it too, and that's why He pulled in there, because He thought you were something special. There's a spot out there that says preacher on it. You want to park there? Help yourself. I'll find another place. We got plenty of places now.
Amen.
They did that. I didn't do that. You need to have that there. Why? I can still walk. I have a chance to park in a handicapped spot or whatever that's close to the door. I say, I have nothing doing, man. I'll park as far away as I have to park. You say, why? I don't want the Lord to cripple me. He's like, oh, so you handicapped, are you? You want a sticker, do you? Okay, good. I'll just cripple you. No, as long as I can walk, I'll walk. It won't hurt me to walk off a few pounds anyway. That's the great thing about fasting. When you're on a regular diet, you're replacing the calories you burn. When you're fasting, you're not replacing anything you burn. So just by the law of subtraction and addition and subtraction, you lose weight because you don't eat. What's the preacher's diet plan? Fast for about a week. You'd be surprised how much weight you lose. Well, is it good for you? You won't die. Just drink plenty of water. You'll be all right. You know what the world says? Drink this and you can lose weight. How many calories in it? 4,000. But because it's liquid, you can drink it and lose weight. It's calories, stupid. Here's the best way to lose weight. You want a preacher's diet plan? You ready? Sew your mouth shut. You'll be surprised what it'll do for you. A preacher, you can't live that way. Well, okay, not for long, but at least for a few days you can. Okay, better get off of that. John chapter number 12, verse number 35, if you will please. Notice what the Bible says here. He says, Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. Now watch. Here's the antithesis. Here's the repercussions. Here's what happens if you don't walk while you have the light. Lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from among them. Here's what he is saying here. When you have the light, walk in the light. Why? I don't want to walk in the light. I don't care about the light. The Lord said, if you don't walk in the light, then darkness will overtake you. It's not if I don't want to walk in the light, I stay right where I am. No, he says, if you don't walk in the light while you have the light, then darkness will overtake you. That's what's important about the Christian life. You have to, stay at it on a regular basis. You say, why? You want to keep the light going. Look, if you will, please, in 1 John. Let me show you this, borne out. 1 John chapter number 1. Almost done. 1 John chapter number 1. Thanks for staying with me. I like hearing the pages and not the clicks. I watch, sometimes your kids are that way, you know, they kind of got it down. They think they got you fooled, but they don't have me fooled. I'm up above you. And I see this. That kind of constipated look, you know. Who, me? I'm not doing nothing. I was hunting a deer one time. I used to hunt a little bit here and there, and I was hunting a deer one time, and I was taught about certain times to do certain things and all this kind of stuff, and this little floppy-haired doe comes walking by there, and she's walking like this, and I get up and get my bow, and I get ready, and all of a sudden she stops, and she's looking right at me, and I'm like the mannequin. I mean, I won't even blink, and I ain't about to look in her eyes, but she's like, and then she'd... I mean, that thing went on for forever to the point I got, I don't care, I want to try to shoot you or not. Of course, as soon as I drew, she took off running and that kind of a thing. But that's kind of like some of you do in the church service. Kind of like. And then what you think is that he's not looking anymore, and I go... And you're like... Can't even put it away for 1 hour. They got a new thing out. It's a new deal they're fixing to give to the police. I think it's a good thing. What they can do is run a program on it. It's based on an algorithm, but they can run the thing that says if you're involved in an accident, you say, were you on your phone? It's like asking them if they were wearing their seatbelt. Were you on your phone? No, I wasn't on your phone. They can click the thing in there and find out if you were on the phone at the time of the accident, if you were texting and driving. I think it's a good thing. Amen. You say you wouldn't think that unless somebody had died that you know has it. Drinking and driving, texting and driving. It can't wait.
Amen.
It can't even wait while you're in church because you're so important. You don't have enough courage to tell your kids, put it down, you're in church. And if you don't, I'll take it from you. And when I give it back to you, you will never be able to put all the pieces back together again. You'll think you have a phone called Humpty Dumpty. 1 John, if you would please, look if you will please in chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. Boy, that went over like a lead balloon. That stuff is so distracting. Never mind. Verse 5.
"This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him," not salvation, fellowship, "and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." In other words, you say I'm in fellowship with him, but you're walking in darkness, you're not in fellowship with him. You're lying. You're not doing the truth. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Would you agree with me that he's talking about walking on a particular path? Would you agree with me that path is lit by God? Would you agree that he just said to you, if you're walking in the light as he is in the light, you're having fellowship one with the other, meaning he's the one that determines the path that you ought to be in, and if you're walking on any other path other than the one God lit up for you, that you're not walking in the right path? Is that a fair analysis of the scripture? Okay, well, that's all you need to know about how to stay in fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's all you need to know about the old path. Lord, light the path and I'll walk in the path. He says the Word of God is a lamp to your feet. Colossians chapter number 2. Quickly, Colossians 2. Just a couple more verses and we'll go home. Stay with me. Colossians 2. They're long verses. If you want to stay in fellowship with the Lord, you know what you have to do? You say, I got to look for darkness. No, you don't. Look for light. Let's be positive. Look for the light. Nothing God ever tells you to do or not do will ever be wrong for you. It will always be right. God's not trying to, you know, be the naysayer and never wants you to have a good time, never wants you. If he tells you don't do these things, it's because he knows what's best for you. He wants you to enjoy life. And he said, if you do that, you ain't going to enjoy it. Oh, it's pleasurable for a season, but it's going to stick to you for the rest of your life. I believe in the forgiveness of God, and I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe in the restoration of God. I believe in that wholeheartedly. But sometimes that is preached to the extent of, go ahead and mess up and let God restore you, instead of, why just not mess up? Amen. Why not just do right? Instead of, well, I messed up, will God forgive me? Yeah, He will. He will. But maybe we should just try for a change to not mess up for a while. Well, nobody's perfect. Okay, have a nice day. I don't know what to tell you. Verse number 6, the Bible says, Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 6, "You therefore receive Christ as the Lord, so walk ye in Him." That's walk in the ways of Christ. Walk in Him, and you're in Him because you're saved, so you have to have the mind of Christ. "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself a little lower than the angels, and learned obedience by the things he suffered." I've got to learn to walk as the Lord would walk. Verse number 7, "rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein in thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." In other words, any preaching that exalts a man's idea or theology and not vault Jesus Christ, then it's the wrong stuff and they're ruining you. Last verses, Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah 42. Here's an example of that. Old paths and separation, old paths and the discipline of your children, old paths and capital punishment, old paths in the family, old paths in the Bible, old paths in the church. Things you can control. Old paths in the government, you have no control over that. But you don't need to worry about the government. Worry about the things you can control. What can you control? If you're saved, you can help control yourself. If you're married, you can help control your wife. Or your wife can help control you. Some of you men need a good stinking bit and bridle on.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. She's a good balance for you. Not all women are Jezebel.
Right.
Some of you fellows are flat lazy. You need her to put on some spurs and ride you into action. Get off your lazy blessed assurance. That's what I was thinking the whole time. And do some things. Learn what this thing is. It's called sweat. You say, I thought that was sweet. No, that's S-W-E-E-T. Sweat is something you do when you work. Learn about that. Teach your kids about that. Turn off the air conditioner every now and then just to get the feel of what it'd be like without it. You'll sure appreciate it a lot more. Turn off your water and your kids get up and say, I'm going to take a shower. No, you ain't. The water bill ain't been paid. Dad, what will we do? I don't know. Take a bath in the toilet, baby. I don't know what to tell you.
the water in the tank is still okay, the top tank. If it gets real bad and you're dying of thirst, I'm not talking about the bowl. Jeremiah 42, you never know what you're going to get here. God leaves a remnant in Jeremiah chapter number 42. Their God is their God, and so on and so forth. Verse number 4, Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I've heard you. Behold, I will pray unto God, your God, according to your words. And it shall come to pass, verse 4, that whatsoever thing shall the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. And then he goes up there to pray, or before he goes to pray, they say this to him. Jeremiah said, the Lord be true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Jeremiah will do whatever the Lord says, whether it be good or whether it be evil, Jeremiah. We will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. It came to pass after 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Verse number 8, and he called Johanan the son of Kareah and the captains of the forces that were with him and all the people, the least of the greatest. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord your God, unto whom you sent me a present supplication before him. Do whatever you want to do. Feel free. Just have a good time and enjoy yourself. Follow your own ways, follow your own wishes, follow your own ideas, because God doesn't care. He says, verse 10, if you will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, and I will repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you in his hand. Stay in the path, stay on the old ways, do what we started doing at the beginning. Don't leave where you are. Continue to move along in the right direction. And I will show mercies unto you, and he will have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, watch, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor the hunger of bread, and there we will dwell. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Well, guess what happens? They made up their mind they were going to go to Egypt before Jeremiah ever spoke. And when Jeremiah's message came down on the wrong side of the division, they chose to do what they wanted to do instead of what God said to do. God said, remain where you are, stick with the old paths. They said, we're not going to do it, we're going to Egypt. And as a result, the entire nation got crushed. Look, if you will, please, and all the way down there in the passage, and he says, they became an execration and an astonishment and a curse to the reproach of the people. And then he says, go not into Egypt, verse 19, for ye dissembled in your hearts, verse 20, when you sent me unto the Lord. In other words, you concealed or disguised, you were hypocritical, you said you'd do what the Lord said, but when the Lord's message didn't agree with what you wanted to do, you did what you wanted to do. You never had any intention of doing what God said to do. Pray us unto the Lord our God, and according to all the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto you. And now I have this day declared it unto you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, verse 21, nor anything for which he hath sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly, ye shall die by the sword. Now all of a sudden, the thing that should protect them now becomes something that'll cause them death. By famine and by the pestilence, the pace whither ye shall desire to go and to sojourn. And then when you turn over to chapter 43, and we won't go through it, lo and behold, guess what happens? Azariah, the son of Hosiah, the Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord thy God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt and sojourn there, and we're going whether you like it or not. And as a result, the nation of Israel winds up under a curse. Why? Jeremiah 43, Jeremiah 44, they said, we will not hearken unto thee. We will not do what you told us to do. We made a promise to you, but we didn't mean the promise in the first place. And so guess what? We want a new path. We don't like the old path. It's interesting. They go back to Egypt. Egypt in your Bible is a picture of the world. You know where most Bible believers go when they leave the Lord? They go back to the world whole hog. They don't go back to a stopgap. When they go back, I mean, they jump in full-fledged, wholeheartedly. Got tired of following the Lord. Got tired of hearing the noise of war. Got tired of hearing the trumpet preaching. Got tired of singing the song. Got tired of doing what was right to do. I'm wore out with it. So what happens? It's just easier to give up and give in. You know what the Lord says? Stand. The Lord says, stand. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, what might happen to you? Well, if you stay standing when everybody else is kneeling or bowing down to the ark there, image there, when Belteshazzar was around and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down, they remained standing. And to say what happened, they wound up in the fiery furnace. But they were willing to go into the fiery furnace as opposed to bowing with a whole nation that bowed down before that image of Nebuchadnezzar. And they got to see God and miraculously were delivered because they stood in the old path. Daniel stayed put. What it cost him? Lion's den. But he got to see the Lion of the tribe of Judah show up. Joseph decided to stand. You say, what happened? Got elevated to the second in the kingdom. I didn't say it wouldn't cost you. Before he got there, he went to a pit. He went to Potiphar's house and was falsely accused. Then he went to prison before he ever got to the palace. But the point is it's right to stand. I wish I could get some of you younger guys and some of you younger women around some of these old saints that have grit in their craw, and they got a backbone like a saw log, and they're going to stand for what's right to stand for, if it hair-lips the devil and everybody else. But the modern generation is, it's just too hard. Well, we'll see when you get to heaven. I didn't say it'd be easy, but it's right. I'd rather go put my head on the pillow knowing that I'm in a jail cell for something that's right to do than to be sitting and having a banquet with kings knowing I had to compromise to get there.